listener production.
KickPod acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yolukut Wulam clan of the Boonwurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome to the KickPod, your weekly D&M on the stuff that matters. 1, 2, 3, 4. Welcome back. You just waited for me to say that last week you said space. I always say it.
Yeah.
So I need to give you some space. Do you wanna say something?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
We've just come off a pretty much 2 week almost kick workout shoot.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? How's your body feeling?
Yeah, I mean, so all I've done this week is a 10-minute mini. It was just abs. And I feel like this happens every time we do a shoot week. Like, I felt fine coming off the back of the week, to be honest. I was mentally and like physically, I suppose, I was extremely tired. And I feel like I'm still tired, like catching up on sleep from all the workouts. But when it comes to soreness, I'm actually all right. And I feel like this is always the way. I feel like we get into day three and it's like, how are we going to do more of this? I'm so sore. The DOM's really set in. But then you just push through, you get through it. And at the end of the week, you feel so amazing for it. But I always take that week off. So I'm hoping that I feel like up to some, maybe like a long walk or something over the weekend. But it was just such a good week. It's always so exciting getting to shoot the content for everyone. Don't you
think? It is. And for anyone listening that's like, what is a shoot week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good thing that it's probably should tell you. So it's really shoot. All of our masterclass content in the app, which are the workouts where they're filmed in real time. So it's like you follow for 20 minutes. We are there for the full 20 minutes doing the workout with you,
yes,
or the trainer is. So that's what they are. And we film a lot at once.
Yes.
So,
and a lot more than what we would absolutely do on a normal
workout.
Like, it's quite funny because this shoot, right, was probably my biggest jump in like what my body's used to working out in a regular routine. So lately, I reckon I work out 3 to 4 days a week. And those workouts are between 15 minutes, max 30 minutes long. And it's generally like Pilates or you know, kick strength workouts from home. So I went from that to then doing like 6 days a week over an hour of exercise. Obviously that is just too much for my body on a normal week, but it was just crazy to see how your body can adapt. And for me, it was actually, selfishly, it was really, really enjoyable because I don't get time like that to work out anymore. Like I can't fit that kind of, not that I'd want to work out 6 days a week for over an hour. That is definitely excessive in my world, but even just like half an hour, 6 days a week, like I don't even get that really. So it was really nice to have some time to just work out like with our trainers and not have to worry about like pausing it halfway because Harvey needs me or like Harvey's woken up from a nap.
That's really nice. But yeah, exactly. Steph's right. We kind of, I wanted to ask you, one of the workouts that I was filming, you weren't there.
Mm.
I started talking about how we go through the seasons and I feel like the seasons are like motivation and I'm mortified for when this class comes out.
Why?
I had no idea
what
the order of the seasons were. I was like for 5 minutes like and the trainer was like, anyway, because I was like, you know, we move from summer. I could not remember that.
Autumn, winter, spring.
In my head, it goes autumn, it goes summer, spring. Winter, spring.
What?
Autumn. I couldn't place it. And I wanted to know, does that happen to anyone?
No.
It was honestly so embarrassing. And I was just thinking, where does autumn go? Because in my head, summer after autumn.
No, you know.
Sorry, autumn after summer.
This is how I remember. Autumn and spring are like warm-up months. As in when I say warm-up.
I know the temperatures.
No, not warm-up as in temperature. As in it's like a warm-up to the stronger month. So like autumn is like a warm-up into feeling the cold. Because it's like gradually getting cooler and like the trees are dying and all that sort of stuff. And then spring is like the trees are growing, the sun's coming out and then you
into
get summer.
Summer.
Yes.
Right. So it makes no sense for spring to go into winter because spring, anyway, it was honestly a dog's breakfast. That's what I was. And I was just like, how do I not know this?
Oh, well, it's so funny because also when we film these workouts, you have to be really silent on set. Like if you're watching or you're filming. So the whole crew would have been holding in
this
laugh.
They were looking. And I could see their faces like being like, Laura, what
on earth is wrong with you? And the trainer was like, Lord. Anyway, so yes, we've got through the shoot week. It's incredible what our bodies can do. But yes, rest time this week. Now. We've got a kick update. Now, I think we've given away by the title of the podcast, also by the guest today, but what is it?
Yes, our kick update is that we've just launched Dance Cardio with Kath Ebbs, who is the amazing guest on today's podcast, onto the Kick app. So get ready to move. Groove and boost your move. One of my favorite lines.
Did you say boost your move or mood?
Oh, I did, didn't I? Yeah. I said it wrong. I said the tagline wrong. I was just about to say this is my favorite tagline I think we've ever done. Okay, anyway,
you know,
let me take
works
two on that.
With what you just said.
Well, it does.
Boost your move.
Yeah. Wait, like, but it already has move in boost. It starts with move. Okay, so Yeah. Anyway, what I was meaning to say is get ready to move, groove, and boost your mood. Because
you've ruined it. Because who says a tagline like, oh my God, mood at the end? Mood. Do it one more time.
Right. Okay. Get ready to move, groove, and boost your mood with this brand new workout style. We've got 12 new workouts ranging from 10, 15, 20, and 30 minutes so that you can fit it in to your day. You can shake off your stress and celebrate your body. Also, at the moment, to celebrate the launch of this incredible addition to the Kick app, we are running a competition. So head to our TikTok at Keep It Cleaner Squad to join our dance challenge for you to win a chance to win a pair of Apple AirPod Max.
On that note, let's get into our conversation that we had with Kath. Kath is just also... Kath looks like an identical twin to my
when
little sister.
When you posted that photo, because I've
weird?
Always thought that. When I met
was
Kath,
it weird
I was
when
like,
I
oh my
that?
God, you remind me of Luce. But then when you posted that, I was like... It's actually like an alternate universe. Like they honestly are like doppelgangers.
So I love Kath so much more.
Kath
and I love her so much more because she is she looks just like my
and
sister.
And it's not even just looks. They are so alike in what they love and stand for.
Anyway, so that's a random note. But anyway, we'll get into today's episode. So today with Kath, we speak about traveling and the pressure that comes with enjoying yourself on a holiday because Kath just came back from a really big Europe trip. And had some really honest things to say about it, which I feel like was, I don't know.
It's refreshing.
Really, it was refreshing, exactly.
We also spoke as, you know, she's a freelancer, so coping with the uncertainty or doubt that comes with not knowing when your next job is coming. And then also like seeking validation because a lot of the work that she does is on social media, but just being on social media in general and seeking that validation.
A jam-packed episode.
Kath Ebbs, welcome back to the Kick Pod. You're actor, writer, DJ, creator. Love how much that you share your love for dancing and cooking online. You've also just played the first ever non-binary character on Neighbours, which is so exciting. Congrats, because that's happened since we last chatted. And super exciting for us, you are now on the Kick Squad as a Kick Master Trainer for Dance Cardio. Welcome, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're so excited we can finally announce her.
Yeah.
I know.
I've been watching a lot of the content and I'm just so excited for the community to be able to experience your classes because they're just so full of energy.
I'm a bit, it's always a bit nerve-wracking when you like film things in like bulk and then you're like, I don't know.
No, you know. So I remember after your first workout when you first finished, we all looked at each other like, she nailed that. Like she's
seriously
nailed it. But we wanted to check in. We'll talk a bit more about dance cardio a bit later.
Yep.
Last time we had you on, you'd been going through a lot and you were so open about where you were at mentally and we just want to check in with you and see how you're going.
I'm okay. I feel like it's always like a working progress. I actually feel like after our last chat, I had a few months of feeling like really good. I think in the past like maybe month, I've been really like struggling with feelings of loneliness. And then I was talking to actually my dad, who is a therapist, crazy enough. And I was saying, yeah, I'd just been like struggling to get a grip onto like my life. And I think it honestly is coming from being avoidant. I think I'm probably feeling a bit anxious about certain shifts. And because, you know, I mean, I've spoke about on our last episode, I struggle with, you know, depression and all that kind of stuff. And I was a bit like, Dad, I feel like I'm depressed, but like, I don't think I am. But like, I feel kind of blah, blah, blah. And he's like, sometimes I describe that as like melancholy. Like sometimes you just get, and I was like, yeah, that's what I feel. I'm feeling really melancholy and like lonely and like, yeah. So I don't know. I'm feeling like I am okay. I think I'm going through a little bit at the moment. I'm feeling a bit like lonely is the word I keep coming back to. And that's not, like, I'm not actually lonely. Like, I have beautiful friends. Like, feelings I have an incredible loneliness. Family. Like, and it's really bad when I get in those frame of minds. I also live by myself and I become extremely introverted because, like, it's so weird when you're feeling lonely. You think, okay, well, I'm, like, hanging out with heaps of people. But for some reason, that can make you become more, like, in yourself. And it's really bad for someone like me because then I, like, ruminate and then, like, old behavior patterns come up to cope, which is not good. But I'm in therapy. See my therapist every week. So we'll be fine. I'm fine.
I really appreciate the way that you answered that question. It was so real and you don't need to go into that much depth. And so you're just such an open book, which I really, really appreciate.
Oh, thanks.
Mm. I wanted to ask because you've just been to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I related to a lot of what you said on your socials about travel actually is not something that you love.
Mm.
But I think from watching from the outside, I was like, oh my God, wow, Kath's in Europe at this family wedding. Was it in France? It was amazing.
It was in Cognac.
It just looked incredible with your family. You're traveling around. But I also then thought when you are away, you then feel the pressure that you should be enjoying it. And then also, obviously, like you've just done Neighbours, which is incredible. You're career is so successful. You're on this trip in Europe. Did you almost feel like I should be happy? And then if I'm not, it makes me so unhappy because I should feel a certain way. Does that make any sense?
That was like exactly how I felt. Yeah, that trip was so interesting. I really struggled on that trip. And I think a lot of it was like feeling certain feelings and then feeling so guilty because I was also like I literally made myself like, grow up, you brat. Like, you are so privileged to be able to like afford to go on this trip, be with like my family, my extended family that I never get to see, you know, this really special experience. And I definitely had those moments, like those like, this is really special or like, you know, but I was just struggling with being able to regulate. Yeah, traveling is hard and I feel like a lot of people don't think about that because I did put up, I think it was like a story being like, yeah, this is really, I'm really anxious and like, I don't know about this. And I got so many people message me being like, I feel like this, or like, I'm literally in Europe right now and I'm not having a good time. And, but I think when you're highly, like for me, like I have a lot of like sensory issues and that, and traveling can be, it's a bit too much for me.
Yeah,
it's really overstimulating. And I think it doesn't mean I can't travel. It just means that I need to put boundaries in place in order for it to be an enjoyable experience for me. And that's, I love, you know, I'm a social person, definitely, but I need time alone and like, you know, someone can go and explore the city like all day long and then go for dinner and go out at night and just sleep and do it again. Like I need breaks. Like I need to, you know, go out and have a break, go out, have a break. Yeah. So I learned a lot about like, okay, no, I can travel. I just can't do it this way. This way doesn't work for me. I just need to, I just struggle to regulate. I've been like that since I was like a kid. I'm very highly sensitive. And like, you know, as a kid, it manifested like school for me was too much. Like, you know, other kids can go to school 5 days a week for whatever, 6 hours. And like, you know, it's fine. For me and my brain and my body, like I could not regulate for that long. So it would manifest in like, I would literally not go to school. Like I would refuse to go. And it manifests like that as me as an adult. Like I just have a different threshold. And it's not that I'm not social. It's just like I can't do as much as other people. I just can't. And I try to because I feel so guilty. But yeah.
But it's okay to feel all of those things. And I think that's what is so special about you talking about it is you 100%. Just feel this. Because I think when you try and put off feelings or you feel guilty for having them, like not enjoying, you know, because I think we associate like traveling, especially after COVID, because we weren't able to do it. And then it became something that was like, oh my God, imagine if we could do it. And then it obviously costs a lot of money and that you work really hard for. So it's like you're spending the money that you work really hard for. And while you're at work, you're like, oh, well, I'm going to spend it on this trip and I'm so excited for it. But then when you're there, it's like not what you thought it would be.
And you're like, I'm spending money and I'm not.
And you just put pressure. Yeah. And I think it's just, it's really nice that you spoke about it because it's okay to feel both of those things at the same time.
Totally. Mm. I think at the end of the day, no matter where we are in the world and no matter how much we practice gratitude, we're still who we are and we still are going to have the same struggles that we have every other day. And I think that's really awesome that you opened up about that because I think, unfortunately, social media isn't always a safe space where that's accepted. A lot of people might want to crush that and say, well, you get to go overseas, so
I know.
Suck it up.
And I was a bit worried about posting it,
but
especially
like,
as like a influencer.
Mm.
I mean, don't worry, guys. I paid for the whole trip. It's fine. But even if I didn't,
but it's
the same thing.
Very unfortunate that exists because it's literally it goes into what you said, Laws. In that is why we feel guilty and bad about feeling these, you know, quote unquote negative emotions, because we're worried about what other people might judge us for, like, not necessarily enjoying something that we should. That's where the pressure 100%.
Comes from. 100%.
Before you traveled, life was a bit busy. You know, you're moving back to Sydney and work's been amazing but also crazy. And as a freelancer, I'm sure you've gone through, you know, the ups and downs. Mm. How have you gone as a freelancer? Because obviously there's like times when nothing's going on and then there's times where it's like so hectically busy. With everything else that you have going on in your life, how do you manage that and like try and find stability in life?
I really struggle. I honestly struggle with finding the balance. I was even like struggling with a few like health issues, so I don't think that's helped, but I'm really struggling to find routine at the moment and I'm really struggling with motivation and I feel like I'm becoming a little bit avoidant at the moment with work and I'm putting things off because I'm in a bit of a scarcity mindset, which I think can happen when you're freelance. You think it's all going to go away and then you have moments where you're like, we got my boss ass bitch. And then I have, yeah. And then like recently it's been like this like impending doom and yeah, struggling to do healthy things for myself and just not feel sorry for myself, but just panic.
Well, that's the really hard thing about freelance because most freelancers, obviously they're doing it because they're doing something that they love. Like it's usually creative and they love doing it, but it's also like any industry, there is negative sides to that. And the negative side to freelance is that it's not this like stable routine. Do you think for who you are, because obviously you prioritize it because it's stuff that you enjoy, but because of the stuff that you struggle through with mental health, do you think if you were in a 9-to-5
I couldn't do it
job, you think it would be harder or easier on you?
I reckon though with that, I was just thinking about it and I actually think the scarcity mindset does not just apply to, I think it's
especially
more extreme.
Now, there's goddamn more extreme stability. Like that's the issue, right?
And
like that's
I think
a whole
it definitely
other...
is more in terms of the freelance word. It's definitely exemplified. But I believe that actually everyone, depending on how you are, it's possible to have a scarcity mindset in any workplace, in any job.
So when I, in my last year of school, I started a food vendor business and it was like, you know, very successful, especially for being a little baby business. And like, I guess that's not freelance, but like I was working for myself, like, you know, whatever. And I still had a little bit of that, like, oh, I hope this doesn't go away. What's going to happen if it just, you know, but it didn't feel because it wasn't personal. Like I could work, I could look at the business from like an outside perspective. Yeah. And like, if we had a few bad weeks, right, I'd be like, all right, what can I do? Do we need to do a little bit more marketing? Whatever.
Yeah.
And although that would cause stress, it felt very different to now having a career that is based on me.
Yeah.
Like that's what freaks me out, I think. For me, the stress comes from feeling like I'm not enough. And like people don't like me and like I'm embarrassing myself and like people are laughing at me and like people don't like me anymore. They used to like me, they don't like me anymore. Or like, you know, if I get a no or something, I'm like, people don't believe in me or like, you know, I don't know. Like it comes out for me. That's the stress. Mm. Like it feels like such high stakes. The stakes feel so high for me. And I think I'm honestly probably more prone to that side of things because my inner child is like just this little kid, you know, scared that it's going to turn bad. Or if I get like, yeah, no.
It's all on you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's honestly just because of my trauma. That's like honestly why. But then also equally like that's probably why I'm in the job I'm in is because of that stuff too.
I think what's really hard with what, especially with social media, which we want to talk to you about, and then I mean everything you're talking about with your job being, you know, your personality, you it's not like a test or a job where you can like, you know, in a test, for example, if you get it right or wrong and then you get your validation or you don't, right? With social media, we can't control if people like us. And what I think is so interesting in what you're saying is that you actually like a lot of that, like if you put a post out there or, you know, don't get a role or whatever it might be, you could be the best actor in the whole world. Like you could be the coolest social media person in the whole world. But no matter how hard you try or work in that, not everyone's going to like you and
that's
not everyone's going to say yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like that would be, it's so hard to work through.
Mm. And it's interesting you say that because like my issue is, and this is what I work through in therapy, is I feel like I'm not going to be successful. Like I always feel like I'm just enough, like I'm just under. I always say this mantra to myself, like I am more than just potential. Because I think in my head, I'm always like, I have so much potential. Or like, you know, I'm not successful. Like, I'm successful, but I'm not like, you know, I compare it to other people. I'm like, I'm not like that. And I don't think I like, you know, and I want that, but I think I don't believe I can get it. You know what I mean? And then I self-sabotage by not being like, well, I'm going to try harder and I'm going to, you know, instead I go, well, I'm not going to get it. So I'm like, I'm just going to go to bed. What the fuck's the point? I'm not going to get it anyway. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is terrible. That's a terrible thing. And you won't. Like, you know what I mean? If you don't believe that you are more than your potential, or you don't believe that you deserve it, or you don't believe it's possible, or if you get it, it'll go away really quickly, or it'll just get taken away from you, then of course you're never going to, because you're also telling, like, I'm really big on energy and stuff. The universe is like, oh, okay, you don't want it? That's fine. I'll give it to someone else that wants it. That's fine.
When you got Neighbours and you were the first non-binary character ever on Neighbours, I think from the outside, a lot of people would be looking at that and thinking that is the pillar. Like, you are very successful if you make it on Neighbours, right? Like, that's like you've made it for a lot of people because you've done that.
Yeah.
And then so to hear you speak about, you know, that you don't think that you're ever going to get there. So I find it so, I mean, it's hard to hear because you are so successful, right?
Well,
did you feel when you got Neighbours?
This is what my brain does, right? This is what my brain does. So like, you know, when I got it, I was like, get what I want. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Slay. And then I so quickly go to, well, I was a guest role. I wasn't actually like, you know, I wasn't main cast. I wasn't on weeklies. You know, I go into all of that, you know, like, it's actually embarrassing that I'm here. It's actually embarrassing that I'm posting about it because, like, I'm a guest role. That's embarrassing. I go into all of that instead of being like, yeah, that was cool. On to the next, like, who's hiring me?
It's so sad to hear you say that. I mean, even when we were on the kick set, I remember when you said that you wanted to be a kick trainer and you would come on board. We were like, we did the whole like, oh, okay, yes, we're really like, thank you so much. And then like put the phone down and then we like danced around like, oh my goodness, we are so like honored that someone that we think so highly of wants to be a trainer on kick and, you know, obviously wants to be associated with kick and like it wants to be a part of it.
Like, I was like, I called my sister. I was like, slam on kick. I told you that story. Yeah, and Ellen, I was like, Cal's going to be on kick.
But it was so interesting that internally you were thinking like, oh, am I doing this? Like comparison, like all the stuff we spoke about. But we're sitting here being like, oh my goodness, we've got Cap Epps as a trainer on kick. We're so lucky.
Aww.
But it's so shit that we do that to ourselves.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people do it. I mean, I have some friends that don't. And I'm like, okay.
Do you do that, Steph, ever?
What? Do I think negatively of like how I've done in something?
But go to the worst. Absolutely. The worst. Because you've probably felt anxious before, but it's not something that you live with every day that we've spoken about.
I think it's because I don't expect I could ever do anything perfect. I think but I've accepted that. But I also just couldn't imagine anything that I do being perfect. So I'm like, why bother trying?
But I think it comes back to we're so hard on ourselves. Yeah. Because I know sometimes we speak about it, Steph, especially with work, which is something obviously coming back from maternity leave and with not having a lot of sleep, like it's hard to reorientate yourself and how you are quite hard on yourself with what you do. And I'm like, you are doing a freaking amazing job, right? So I think it's interesting that you think that you can't do things perfect. I mean, no one does anything perfectly, but like you do them pretty damn well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like you, where I'm unlike you, Laws, is like you might not do something right and so you'll just...
And you want to learn everything about it.
You want to better yourself and do better next time. I don't have that drive. Neither. If I don't do something well, I'm like, I don't want to try that again.
Yeah. And it's annoying being freelance or whatever because, you know, as you guys would know, like motivation is like a huge part of it. Okay. So having that is like my massive downfall and I beat myself up over it all the time.
How much do you think because with social media in terms of motivation for producing content? Because it's super time consuming, right? And it's also you put a lot of effort into something. And then it's interesting.
We spoke about this on DMs on Monday really night. Briefly.
I loved what you said because you said that you just go through these motivational waves with Instagram and more so whatever, social media platforms. But I think it's really interesting because with like Instagram especially, it's you can't control it and you put a lot of effort into something and then it doesn't get like liked,
validated,
or shared,
and
commented. You're like, oh, I've done a bad job, right? Yeah. But it's like, why? And we could stand out there and say to each other or in here and say likes, and we probably said it to our followers, likes do not matter. They do not mean you're like, they're not about
your
worthiness.
Oh, don't talk about this, but you're like on social media, you're like, I love myself. And then you're like at home and I'm like literally call my friends being like, I'm a fucking fraud. Yeah. I'm on social media saying this isn't this and I hate myself.
Yeah.
But do you find likes and comments validating?
Oh, don't like, even. Yes. Are you joking me? Yeah. And I'm there like, this is so stupid.
I don't care.
I'm a cool boy. And then I'm like,
I'll just post and never check it ever.
I don't even, but, you know,
if it gets comments.
It doesn't even matter about likes, guys. Like, I'm sitting there being like,
it's the way we're wired.
And it's not just like you post and then you get paid and you're like,
I reckon it's super common. And even look at the rise of Afterpay debt and everything like that. Yeah. I think it's like so – and it, obviously everyone's different. Some people generally – even like my little sister, who is your identical twin, Luz.
Oh, my God, well. Yeah.
Yeah, we spoke about her last time.
Luz, she got off social media because she hates – she's like super not into commercialism and she's really just – she's loose, right?
She's like,
awesome.
Capitalism is killing us all.
Yeah, exactly.
Queen.
But she's off socials. Even though she's like that, when she's on socials, she starts caring about it. She doesn't want to. So she has, obviously it's on her job, so she can just go off it and not come back on it. But it is, I think it's something that's really common. And when you look at like the debt of Afterpay and like people trying to keep up with like how many also like designer bags, for example, within young kids that are like 18 to 25. And obviously you never know, like their family might have money and they bought it. But there's also people that are going into debt to appear to have a life a certain way, to get like that, you know, that ring photo people do with their car and like their coffee and like their, like, and with their like that, all of that type thing is like people are feeling like they have to live up to, and even if it's not their job, because I think if we think back to like MySpace and stuff or Facebook, like Facebook wasn't something that you could grow followers on, but people would compare how many friends they had on it.
Yeah, all the friends that you had, all the music that you put on this page.
I do think it's something that we all felt. Yeah, like validation from likes and comments and whatever it might be. Yeah. And even if we say that it doesn't, like it doesn't matter, that's actually
true. It actually doesn't matter.
Yeah. But also is this weird thing because I might like, you know, my engagement might be down, right? And then I'm like, oh, everyone needs me. And I go into self in which other people would of like, I'm not good enough, blah, 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 blah. And then on top of that, I'm like, it's all over. I can't, this isn't a job anymore. What am I going to do? I'm like, my world is literally like falling down around me, you know? And it's exhausting.
And so when you're feeling those kind of really overwhelmed feelings or stressed or anxiety over anything, what are some things for you that you do when you're in those moments where you just really need to kind of ground yourself and feel a little bit better?
Exercise is huge for me. I'll move my body. I'm very lucky. I'm in different. Well, when I was in Melbourne, I found a way to replace this. I would go like around the corner from where I was staying was a climbing gym. So I would just, it was like my safe space. I would just go put my earphones in and climb and chill and drink coffee. In Sydney, I'm really blessed to live near the ocean. So water, I mean, water is healing regardless of whether you're near the ocean or not. Like if you're feeling anxious or frozen or whatever, even if you're having a panic attack, honestly, immerse yourself in water. If you have a bath, even just sit in a shower, sit the bottom, like water, if you're near ocean, I mean, that is the most, for me, healing as fuck. Like, but yeah, there's probably some of the things I do. I journal a lot. I write. I talk to myself a lot too. I live alone. I talk to myself a lot. So I'm either writing or I'm talking out loud.
About dance? The impact of dance on you? Because I think when obviously you're a personal trainer. So when we were thinking about, you know, what kind of training you're going to do on Keek.
Yeah. Well, when I say like exercise, like that is incorporated 100% in that. I do practice dance cardio. The first thing I do when I wake up is like play music and dance. So embarrassingly, always like musical theater is my jam. And I'm like in my room, like I am on stage. Let me tell you, I am there like
dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun and it makes you smile. And I think that's why your classes were so great because it's exercise. But I think so many people associate exercise with like killing yourself in the gym or like running if you hate running or whatever. But dance is, you just have so much. And your classes, because they are, as I said, if you can't dance, don't worry, I can't and I could do them. But you're so focused on like the moves and you just start laughing at yourself and you're having so much fun and it goes so quick. And it's special.
Yeah, and I also think, because people talk about too, like exercise in terms of the like, going to the gym, lifting weights, Pilates, whatever the hell, which are all incredible things. But especially people that are recovering or have recovered from an eating disorder, those can be really triggering. Like I, you know a lot of people that just don't exercise, not because they don't want to, just because they're like, I can't, it's too triggering. Like I can't do it. And I think dance cardio or just dancing or moving your body in that way is very healing because it doesn't feel like exercise a lot of the time. You don't need to do it. You don't need to go to a gym.
It doesn't
or
even look perfect.
No. And like it can be a really easy way to help people heal their relationship with exercise for people that have had a really bad toxic relationship to it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm just so excited for everyone to be doing it. Again, I've had so much fun rewatching them all. We had so much fun when we filmed them. Mm. They really are just a really nice way to kind of move your body and just feel free. And you created a really safe space as well in the classes, I will say, with everything that you said in like allowing people to like mess up a step or like, just come back to this. If you don't know, just come back to this. It's like so good. And we're so lucky to have you. And again, lucky to have you here today. It was so nice to chat to you again. And you're just, as always, so open and we really, really appreciate it. We love you.
Yeah, I love you too.
I do.
Thanks for listening in, guys. I hope you enjoyed that chat as much as we did. And remember to check out Kath's amazing dance cardio classes on the Kick app.
So, yeah, special shares. Have you got one?
Yes, I do. So this is an old song and I want to see if you remember this song. So this song,
I love this
yeah,
song.
It takes me look your face. It takes me back, and it was so funny because this was playing. I was walking past a cafe, and they were blasting this song, and it took me back to like old memories from when I was growing up. And I think why I love this song so much. I think old music that you grew up with just hits different, and there's some that like I've held on to, and it's
what? Why are you laughing?
It's different. Well, it does.
You just
you right?
You were just a evolving. Millennial who's talking like a Gen Y.
I'm trying, all right? I was actually having this conversation with someone last night as well that I think that's when you realize you're getting old, when you're like trying to
last
say.
Last night I used the term mentee B in a text message. Yeah, it's actually been added to the dictionary. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Anyway, and this song played and I think I've held on to some songs that are like classics in my eyes and I've kept them in my playlist and I still listen to them to this day. But it's those tunes that you haven't listened to in years that are so special. And I don't know, it just made me like feel so happy, so happy. And I think it just kind of suited as a special share for today because I think I'm looking forward to taking these dance classes and just blasting like old school tracks and dancing to them in that way.
I love that. For me, it's so on the way back from one of the shoot days when I was so, it was one of my biggest days. Mm. And I put on Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone. Since you've been gone. And I was honestly having my own concert in my car. Yeah. I was yelling. Like, and yeah. That song, no matter what, when you sing it, you feel like you're, it doesn't, the notes are achievable.
No, I mean, they're not. They're really not.
I would have sounded horrific. Yes. But in my head, I was a rock star. And I was just singing. I know every word. Anyway, so that was a flashback from the past. So yeah, I love songs.
I love songs.
What? Well,
that's great. Yeah. I'm glad to hear it.
What's your special share? Content? Okay. So actually, I wonder if you've listened to this. It's one of the, so it's a Shameless podcast episode, which we love. Mm. There's Scandal series, which come out on, they come out every Monday.
I love this.
Have you listened to the Anne Hathaway one?
No, I'm going to.
I love Anne Hathaway, but I knew nothing about Hathagate and all of these things. Yeah. So it came out at the start of July, so it's a bit of an older one, but there's two parts. Highly recommend if you love Anne Hathaway. It's so interesting.
Great. Thank you. I will listen to it because I haven't.
You're welcome.
I haven't, but I do really enjoy the Scandal series.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all.
That's all
No
from
more
us.
Songs.
No. But again, if you want to try any of Kath's new dance cardio classes in the Kick app or any of our other amazing master classes, you can join and enjoy a 14-day free trial. If you head to keepacleaner.com, you can find out more and sign up from there, or you can download our app from the Apple Store or Google Play, and you can find us on Instagram at laura.henshaw. @StephClaireSmith, and of course, everything Keep It Cleaner at keep it cleaner.
And make sure you check out our TikTok competition because those Apple Max headphones. They're the over ear ones, not the little, not that the ones in your ear are not cool.
They're great. We
but
use them
the ones
every day.
Over the ears, yes. They are
cool.
Very cool.
Yes, and the competition ends.
Do the competition.
End of the month.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Bye, everyone.